Welcome to the Success School Podcast. We're on episode 77 today, and we're talking about how to crush your goals in 2025. Steph, how are you feeling?
Happy New Year!
Hope you've made massive impact and money last year.
Yeah, I hope last year was huge for you guys. It was huge for us. I feel very grateful. Feeling so grateful this side of 2025.
Let's fucking go.
What do we talk about today, Tim?
Personal update. I've been doing a two-a-day content challenge, and I've been running that for about 3 months, so till the end of the year this year. And I just want to talk about a couple of results, some intangibles, not so much data-driven, but more what's been happening in my DMs and business since,
or our business.
Qualitative, yes, very good. So I've just had a lot more people reach out for stuff. It hasn't been directly for Success School, but I think, you know, some people are seeing as experts. I'm talking about a lot of topics, like top of funnel. So the strategy here is we're doing reels every day, and they are top of funnel pieces. So we just ask each other questions, film it, make it look good, and then we give our answer, unique answer. We try to put some personality spin on it, and that's essentially to create awareness that, you know, we know our stuff. And it's been working super well. We've been doing quote posts on top of that as well. Therefore, more virality, shares, that type of stuff. And then the reels have been to go deep. We've been sharing that on multiple platforms. So reels, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and Facebook. And then we've seen some good growth. But I think their ROI is really hard to measure. No one's joining Success School saying things like, hey, I joined because I saw your reel. It's more like building the brand piece around the business. So I've enjoyed the two a day. It's been a lot of work. Sometimes we film 50, 60, 70 pieces in one session, and obviously schedule that out for quite a while in advance, but it's been great. So if you're someone that wants more authority in your brand, then maybe look to do something like this, talk on camera with reels. I think it's great. If you're not, and you don't want to do that amount of work, then you could just film one and run heaps of ads to it, and probably get a similar result.
Well, talk to me about so it's not just the two a day. So, Question. Do you think it's more the two a day that's giving you that kind of expert authority status, or do you think it's the type of reel because you've gone back to talking heads?
Yeah, it is talking heads. So we had a content creator come in our business a couple of months ago, and she did a review of our profile for the last 2 years. And she said when things were going best, they were when we were doing talking heads. So it does give you that kind of expert status type
thing. It's more that authority kind of posting, right?
Authority posting.
So for somebody else that was listening to this right now, something that they could implement this year is just like even having one or two talking heads they're going out per week with, among their other content, would be massively beneficial.
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
What's yours?
Mine would be giver's gain. We spoke about this in the last episode, but I've really thought about it and considered it so much more since then. And I really think that...
That really landed.
It really did. Yeah. It really landed for me because... Oftentimes what gets you to your growth, you know, you've asked me this and part of our reflections have oftentimes been like, okay, well, what were you doing really well when you started that kind of got you all the momentum at the beginning? And one thing for me was I was always talking on my stories. I was really regularly creating content to give away and giving away lots of freebies and lots of advice. I would make time for people in my DMs and support them and things like that. And that was really what got me here. And look, there's a lot of sayings like what got you here won't get you there. But I definitely know that what doesn't feel good is charging every man and his dog for every single thing that I want to give. Like that doesn't suit my impact goal. And so the giver's gain thing has been really helpful for me. And it's been something that we've really tried to pass on to our clients has been like, you don't need to put everything behind a paywall. Like the more that you can show people, I know Hormoz is a huge advocate for this as well. The more that you can show people value for free, the more that they're going to trust you, first of all, but also just see value in the things that you create and want to naturally reciprocate. Even if they don't buy from you, they'll shout you out or they'll, you know, maybe come to an event or whatever it looks like to support you. And I just think that we live in a world now where everyone's like, oh, every single thing that I do, I should be getting paid for. Yeah. And I just think it's a bit ick. And so for me, giver's gain, this 2025, guys, you're going to see a lot of free shit from
us. Do you think that's just in your echo chamber?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't see that much.
Interesting.
Personally, which is fascinating.
Fascinating.
As for, hearing you talk about it, I was like, oh, it's probably like a business thing.
I think it's a, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
We do notice.
The women's empowerment.
This is super interesting. We do notice like the differences in both our algorithms are very, very different. And there is a bit of an echo chamber that can occur, especially within female entrepreneur businesses that doesn't happen externally to that. Like you have female entrepreneurs and a lot of male entrepreneurs. You have a lot of both.
Yeah.
And so you definitely see probably a more vast range of content than I tend to get shown for my algorithm.
Yeah, I think that's a dumb rule, getting paid for everything. Like it's just it's kind of silly.
It's so silly.
It makes sense.
It moves so far away from the purpose of the intention, which is to support people, surely. Yeah. If you're in business only to make money from you know, you're not going to make a lot of money. Yeah. Like, that's like, I just think that it's so obvious, and you might make a lot of money for 4 or 5 years and then you're not going to make a lot of money because everyone's going to know that you're just trying to make money. And so, I don't know, give us gain. Yeah, that's my lesson.
What are we talking about today?
Today we are diving deep into 2025 planning and how you can set your year up to smash your goals. It's interesting because we had a lot of demand for an episode like this, but it's super interesting because we're not big planners by nature.
Yeah.
We kind of are and we kind of aren't. And we're going to dive into what that looks like today from our perspective and also how we think it applies to you and some ideas and, you know, probably some very clear tactics and strategies on how you can also do it too. But let's kick off first. Do you believe in goal setting?
Yes. And I believe in goal setting and daily standards.
Okay.
So I'll go through and I'll explain either. So we have a BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Business Goal. We have a BHAG mission, and then I have personal standards, which we execute every day. I do believe if you have personal standards or personal goals that you execute every day, you will achieve the big goal. So our BHAG mission is to help 1,000 entrepreneurs build a seven-figure business. Our BHAG money goal is $5 million a year. And then our daily standards, like, you can chime in on this as well, Steph. Our daily standards are work out every day or do some form of exercise.
Yep.
At least eat 2 meals at home. That's kind of like a personal standard for us. Go to bed at 8:30 and wake up at 5:30. That's a personal standard. Drink 4 liters of water a day. Read and educate every day. Is there any I missed?
No, I think that, you know, we never miss with our clients as well. Like, if we say we're going to do something, we live with pretty heavy integrity. So if we say we're going to show up for clients, we never miss. We have a rule in our program that Monday to Friday, you'll have your answer responded to within 24 hours. And like, we try really hard, like 99.999% of the time we maintain that standard.
Yep.
And just little things like that. Like, if we say we're going to do it, we'll do it. And we're very, very firm on that. And I think probably the highest personal standard is, yeah, the fitness and the health, but also just literally doing what we say we're going to do. I'd say we're pretty high on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Steph, what are the two goals you think most entrepreneurs should have and why?
I think you've already kind of spoken to them, but I think every entrepreneur should have two goals. I think when you're first getting started in business or you're in your first few years of business, it's very much about survival mode. And so you're very much just trying to get your bills covered and make enough money to, like, I don't know, pay your mortgage, right?
So yeah, for sure.
I think that there's a phase of business that's just like, I want to impact people, but also it's really hard to, like, you know, want to give back to charity when you're struggling to make ends meet. And so I think that you do need an impact goal. I think that impact goals, I think that once you have money in business, it becomes very boring.
Yeah.
It actually becomes very boring because money's very exciting when you don't have it.
Yeah.
Because if you get this thrill, this rush, oh my God, all these things I can do, all these things that I can buy, all these experiences I can have. But once you've kind of done a heap of that, it's not actually that exciting anymore. And you don't quite get the same highs as you used to from business. And so business has to start becoming about something other than money at some point. And so for us, impact goals have always been there. We've always wanted to help people, but our impact goal has gotten a lot bigger and it's actually very large. Like, we have 1,000 seven-figure entrepreneurs that we want to build and we're at maybe six.
Jeez.
So it's like, this is like going to be probably a lifelong mission. In saying that, we've doubled in a year.
Yeah.
So if we doubled every year,
We'd get there a lot quicker. So it's a bit of a tangent here, but, you know, speaking about things that don't excite us, money doesn't really excite us anymore. On a day-to-day basis, what excites us most, and people are probably going to laugh at this when we say it. So when something happens and we get the email, what excites us most? We're like, yes, we got a
application or a sales call.
A call book, yeah.
Yeah.
That honestly excites me more than money stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, making an extra, yeah, 100 grand would be, I'd be like, oh, fuck it, whatever. Like, I don't even look at the bank account.
Yeah.
Sales call booked, I'm like, let's fucking go. I love this person. How good. They booked in a call with us.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
We love calls booked. Like, and not because we're going to make sales. And we don't even, we celebrate sales less than we celebrate calls booked.
Yeah.
And it's because of the work that goes into getting the call booked. I think that, you know, we love marketing. We are true
marketers.
We really love marketing. We love everything about it. And when it works, we know that it works because we get a call booked.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's that payoff of just, and especially because we're always testing new things with marketing. We're constantly trying new stuff. And so because we're always trying new stuff, when it works, that's how we know it's working. And so it's fun and it's exciting. So I think, guys, yeah, like, you've got to have a financial goal because you need to know what you're working towards financially, personally. But an impact goal and something that excites you every day is just super important. Tim, how do we figure out our financial goals? So, like, $5 million is our goal. What was that process where we sat down and we had to really figure out how much kind of dream life was going to cost and and do that process to finally figure out our financial goals? Because I think some people just have arbitrary numbers as their financial goal.
So I know I'm the process guy, but you're wanting me to come up with a process on the spot that I am unprepared for on creating a lifestyle goal here.
Do you want to ask me the question? Because I have the process.
No, that's fine. I could do it.
We've done it.
Yeah. So essentially we worked out how much our life or our dream life was going to cost. Houses, cars, kids, like mortgage.
Flights.
Flights, accommodation, how many trips we wanted to have. And then we worked out a number. Steph, do you know the number?
I don't remember what it was, but I remember that we're more than hitting it at this point. I think
it was about 100 grand a month.
Yeah. I think the only thing that we haven't done is bought our parents' houses. I think that's the only thing that's on our list still that would be ideal for that situation. But yeah, we worked back, we figured out exactly what the number was, and it was, yeah, about $100,000 a month. And that was just really good to know, because I think that we often think that our goals are going to be a lot more expensive than they actually are.
Yeah, for sure.
And they haven't been. They've been more achievable than we thought.
Yeah, so we just know we need to hit that, and that's our dream life sorted. Mm. And we're, you know, obviously doing more than that at the moment, which is great. But your dreams and desires might not be as extravagant as ours.
Yeah.
That's like flying business class and doing crazy stuff and living million-dollar houses. Like, it might not be that for you. That always changes for me as well. It's funny, like, I want different things at different times. I'm like, how cool would it be to live in a caravan on a farm out in the valley, you know, sometimes? So,
and then other times you're like, how sick would a Ferrari be?
Yeah. I think I'll still get one.
I think you will at some point too. We go through in and out. But I think the point here is that you do have to know exactly what your dream life would look like. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they just pick an arbitrary number. Like, I want to hit a million, or I want to hit $50,000 a month, or I want to hit $100,000 a month, or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, well, just know why. Like, what is the actual figure? What is it actually going to take to get there? And then work backwards from that goal. And most people just don't know what that dream life's going to look like. And I had a conversation, it was really interesting, one of our clients, Amy, and I had a conversation about this the other day, and she was like, had got to this point in business where money just wasn't that exciting anymore. She's like, we've got everything we want. We're really financially set up. We're super comfortable. What's the point? Like, what's the point of all this now? Like, why would I want to grow? And I encouraged her to like sit down with her husband and plan out their dream life. And she said, she sat down and she realized that there were some stories coming up for her around, like, you know, her mum always kind of saying, like, you don't need all that extravagant stuff. And she was kind of like, you've helped me to see that, yes, while I don't need it, I could experience it. And so why not try to experience those things? And I think sometimes you do also need an expander in your world to kind of show you that. And like you said, things change. Like, while you may not want it right now, you may want it in the future. And sometimes it's just a matter of perspective to help you get excited about that goal.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about getting cool shit. Our friend Josh Coffey wrote a post on this.
Oh, yeah,
cool. I actually disagree with it. Mm. Publicly, he didn't like it or reply to it at all, which was pretty funny. But do you want to just tell like what the post?
Yeah. So our friend Josh was thinking about buying a supercar. I think it was maybe not a supercar. Oh yeah, I think it's a supercar. Yeah. And he was telling the story as if he'd purchased. It was a really well worded post. It was positioned from the perspective of he'd already bought the car, and you know they've hit all their financial milestones, and he thought he'd earned it, and blah blah blah. And then as he went to buy it, he realized that he could use that money and invest more back into his business, and you know, run more ads and do more stuff instead of buying the car. And so he kind of signed off the post saying, like, in a while I'll buy the car, and for now I just need to reinvest back into my business so that I can kind of earn it more. And you disagreed, and I see both perspectives, and I love both perspectives, and I don't care for either one particularly. I do have probably a slight lean towards your way of thinking. So do you want to share that?
Yeah. So I commented and I said, just buy the car, bro. No cool stories came from running more Facebook ads. And it was kind of like tongue in cheek, but also, you know, when you make an investment like that, or you buy a supercar, or you buy something super expensive, it drives you to work harder as well. So like, I know him and I know he could afford both. And I think like the very, like the solidarity in him just said, like, maybe it's the right thing to just spend more on ads and help more people. But like, I don't know what the saying is, the taco thing. It's like, why not have both? You know, what is the taco saying?
The taco thing. I don't know. Lo poco se poco no.
Yeah, something like that. Something so like that. Just have both. And I think you can have both, especially if you get to a point where you're mega successful and you have money, then you can help people and you can have impact. You can still enjoy shit and not feel bad about it. I feel like there was a feeling bad component in there.
Yeah. And this is, it's one of those things. I think especially supercars, I feel like this is a particular type of thing, but I think that there's a lot of stigma. And so I think there's it's really hard to make that investment because mostly of the stigma. I think if there was no stigma, more people would have them, but there's a lot of stigma because you get tall poppy, a lot of people try and take you down when you have one. But the thing I loved about your frame of it was like, also, we don't know how long we're going to live.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you could you know, we could die tomorrow. I'm like, if you can afford the car, buy the fucking car. Like, have enjoy the thing. Like, the way that I reframed this to Amy when we had the conversation was, we only have like maybe 80 years on this earth. And really, you probably have 40 good ones, right? Like 40 good years before your body's failing, or you know, you're too young to experience a heap of things. And so it's like, if you only have 40 years and life is a buffet, why wouldn't you try and experience all of it? Like, why you're not just going to go to a buffet and then just only go to the like Indian curry section? Like, you're going to eat all of the different types of cuisine. The whole point of going to a buffet is that you can have multiple types of food in one sitting. Like, life is just like that. And if you have the capacity and you have the ability to be able to have something from every part of the buffet, life is so short. Like, why wouldn't you just fucking go for it? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I just want to talk about a funny marketing strategy here by the Motormore boys, our friends. So I've been talking about getting a supercar, which I'm probably going to do at some point. And our friends of ours have the largest supercar dealer in WA. Shout out to Motormore. And they're just constantly sending me pictures of supercars that they get.
It's so it's super smart.
Fun. Steph has a better perspective of it. I didn't think it was marketing.
It's so fucking smart. No, you just think that your mates are messaging you about cars, which is hilarious. It's such a smart marketing tactic. So they've got this like little black book of people who are most likely going to buy their supercars, right? Because when you're advertising like Ferraris and whatever, like there's only a very, very small niche market of people who are obviously going to buy that.
Yeah.
And so their marketing tactic is just so much more direct, and it's really subtle, which is so smart. So basically, like a couple of weeks ago, they got in this like orange Corvette that was like,
looks like successful
orange. It was successful orange. And they text him and they like, this has got your name all written all over it. And they even break down exactly. They're like, it's only going to be X dollars per week. Yeah. Like, they break it down. And Tim's like, Tim, I don't know how you don't think that's like a sales pitch, but like, you're just saying,
you want to hear my funnier part? What? So Dom messaged me and he goes, oh, we just got it bagged, which is like airbags dropped, and we got like a supercharger put on it. And he's like, oh, it's probably not for sale anymore.
Yeah, genius.
And I was like, he put a photo of it up like 2 days ago. I was like, I'm buying it. Like, I'm getting it.
Genius. Yeah. So just a little marketing hack for anyone who's playing in the upper echelons. Direct marketing works really well. Actually, we saw this work really well. Side note, totally unrelated.
Heaps of side notes.
Yeah, this is directly not
goal setting, but supercar stuff.
Yeah, goal. No, but this is different. The Mind Muscle Boys, when they opened Locker Room, they were going out to all the CEOs. They wanted to open a gym in Sydney that was just for like really exclusively for like high level, high net worth individuals. And they did lumpy mail, which is a really similar tactic to what we're talking about here. They didn't have direct access to these guys' phone numbers or addresses or any of those things. So what they did was they sent a, I think it was like a boxing glove.
Boxing gloves with a USB stick in it.
Yeah, smart. A boxing glove with a USB stick in it to all of the CEOs in all of the like major all of the businesses in Sydney.
Yeah.
And that was how they filled their gym with like, I think
yeah, it's like $11,000 for 6 months training there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They filled it with 100 people. So
super
do the
smart
math on
marketing
that.
Tactic. Yeah, I love
it. Yeah,
those.
It's incredible.
Okay.
Let's get a bit more tactical. So we know how much your lifestyle goal is. You're going to work that out. We know why you need goals. Steph, how tactically do we do it? Is there a process? Like, what's the kind of process for it?
I'm going to talk to one thing first, and then I'm going to talk to another thing after. So the first thing I'm going to speak to is, once you know the goal, you have to set it as your KPI. And this is a really funny thing that I see in people's KPIs, is that they have like different shades of coloring. We don't have this in ours. So we either hit the KPI or we don't, and that's it. So if we hit the KPI, it's green, and if we don't, it's red. Now, 90% of the KPIs on our spreadsheet, 99% of them are red. And the reason that they're red is because the standard is 5 million. So if the standard is 5 million and we are currently at like maybe 2.5, which is halfway, obviously we are way below KPI. And so what a lot of people do is they kind of like give themselves like green, light green, yellow, like light red, all these different colors they'll categorize, like we're almost there. We don't. Mm. So it's either 5 million or we're not doing well enough.
Yeah.
And
oh, if we suck.
We suck. and we present this to the team every week.
Yeah, it's always
like,
red.
And so it's always red. And it's a really funny thing that I realized that like I would never have done if I wasn't in business with you, but you just hold the standard so high. So we set the KPIs at 5 million. We know exactly how many calls we need to get there. We look at it every week. We know exactly how many sales we need. We know exactly how much our retention needs to look like, what our churn needs to look like. We know exactly how many leads we need to get, exactly what kind of marketing we need to do. Mm. We know all of it down to a T. And so now it's about optimizing to get there every single week. And I shout out to you for holding that standard for our company, even though it's uncomfortable. And even though every week is basically an ego death, just every single week on repeat until we get to the standard. But I think we're going to get there so much faster.
I'll give you a worked example on this. So our KPI, one of them is 760 leads a week. That's name, email, and phone number. If you're in marketing, you know that's quite hard to do. Or if you're not in marketing, just think about how many fucking leads that is. And that's in a 7-day period. That's over 100 leads a day. So we get sometimes like 440 and it's still red. Not good enough. 400 leads a week. Most people would die at 400 leads and we're like, nah, not good enough.
Not good enough.
Red.
Got to get it up 700. 700. What are you doing? So lazy.
I'll get 700.
But I think, you know, once you do know the KPI, it's about not settling.
Yeah.
It's about going, okay, what do the numbers actually look like, and figuring out all the numbers. So like, what's your conversion rate, all those things, and then optimizing for that over the year. And that's how we go into hypergrowth. Like, people are always asking us, like, how do you do it all so quickly? This is how, because the standard gets set and then we don't budget it until we hit it. That's just how it works. But I think that another really important thing is a SWOT analysis. Do you want to talk us through a SWOT analysis?
Yeah. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, like the typical business school kind of analogy here. So strengths is like, what are your strengths of the business? What are you doing well? Is it sales, marketing, scale? Like, what's trending really well for you? Weaknesses, what are the things you're not doing well? Is it improving your speed to lead? Is it improving calling the damn leads? Is it your marketing? Is it your team? Is it sales? Whatever it is, like, go through your weaknesses. Opportunities are like, what opportunities do you have to get better? Usually it's the opposite of your weaknesses. So if your weaknesses are sales, then the opportunity is to improve sales and you want tactically to improve that. And then threats is, what are the biggest threats to your business? Is it competition? Is it AI? Is it COVID 2.0? Like, what are the actual threats here? And then you want to go through that at the start of the year, get a really thorough list, and then put all the opportunities and weaknesses into action items to improve. Because a business works really well when everything is functioning well. It's like a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So if you have a weak link in the chain and it lets your business down, then you're not going to fulfill your business or grow your business to the extent that it could if you had no weaknesses. Obviously, as the goalposts move and your goals move, you're going to have new weaknesses all the time. And the beautiful thing about business, or the not beautiful thing, is you never don't have weaknesses. You always have weaknesses, but the standard just changes on those weaknesses.
Let's touch on that real quick. Weaknesses in the business and potentially in your skills and potentially in your knowledge doesn't mean anything about
you
as a person, right? And I think that that's just something really important for everyone here to understand, is like, we have weaknesses all the time.
Yeah.
We have tons of them. Mm-hmm. And instead of making that mean something about us, we're just like, cool, who's the best person to show us how to fix this?
Yeah.
And how can we fix this in the shortest time frame possible? And usually it's you watching a heap of YouTubes or getting on calls or jamming out with other people on trying to find the weakest link in our chain and how we can fix it in the fastest possible way.
I think you're probably better to talk about this, but like, you know, if something's not going right in the business, how do you discern it from yourself and your own personal value? I think it's a really important one to go into. Is we set high goals and we set high standards for our clients, but like, what does that actually mean about you as a person if you're not hitting it?
I am a human, and what that means is that I struggle with this from time to time as well. I have had to really practice this a lot over the last few years in terms of going, okay, I'm feeling emotional about whatever is happening in the business right now. I can feel that I'm feeling anxious. I can feel that I'm feeling stressed. I can feel that I'm feeling sad about, you know, maybe sales going backwards or not getting enough calls booked or clients leaving or whatever it is. And the question I always ask myself, if I'm feeling an emotion about business, there should be no emotion in business. So if I'm feeling an emotion about business, the question I'll always ask myself is, what are you making that mean about you? And I just sit with it for a second. So like, let's say it's clients leaving. Everyone here is going to have clients who leave you, regardless of how well you do or how incredible your service is. Clients will leave for personal reasons, because other stuff is going on, because other stuff's more important, because they've changed direction, whatever it is. And I used to really make that mean something about me. I used to take every single client who left really personally. And now what I realized I was making that mean about me was I was making that mean that they didn't like me, which is one of my biggest wounds in this lifetime to heal. And that's just not true. Like, every time I've spoken to somebody who's left, it's always just been like, hey, I had to go focus on this, or I had to reinvest that money somewhere else, or you guys were amazing and I got everything I needed and I just needed to knuckle down for another year. Or so often we make it mean something about us when it has nothing to do with us. And so I don't really buy into it too much now, but if I find myself getting emotional in any way about business, I just quickly ask myself, like, what am I making it mean about me? And then, is that actually true? do I know that that's factually true? Do I know that they don't like me? Well, no, there's no fact in that. That's a story that I've made up. Do I know that no one wants to buy my product? Well, no, there are people still buying my product. So there's proof that that's not true. So I think asking yourself, what are you making it mean about you? And then asking yourself, is that actually true? Is that factually true? It's been really helpful for me.
Amazing monologue.
Thank you.
That was incredible.
Great.
So we've got SWOT analysis, and then the next one is know your goal and then set the KPI accordingly. So we did mention before, if the goal is 5 million, we work that down to a monthly goal, and then we track that every single week. You need to do that with all areas of your business. So you need to work it backwards from 5 million. All right, how many sales do I need every month to hit 5 million? Then you work that out. Then how many sales calls do I need to hit that sales number? Then how many appointments set do I need to hit that number? And then it works all the way back to like a marketing goal. Then you know that I need X amount of leads every week to hit this. And then you just set your goals accordingly and track them every week. On the process of that, we track the Mondays, then we go for our three worst. So we did mention that everything is red, but then there's going to be bad red in there. So then we fix the bad red, and then we fix the worst red the week after, week after, week after. And then it's an iterative process from there. And then eventually, when we do hit the 5 mil, we will let you know, and maybe we'll have different red and it'll be 10 mil.
Mm. I have something energetic that I want to talk about on this episode today. And I think that when I say energetic, I just mean the way that you act really matters in business. The way that you behave really matters in business. And so I think that, you know, let's say that we're going to hit 5 million. We have to behave today as though we've already hit that number. We have to behave as the owner operators or the owners of a $5 million business. And so what would the owner of a $5 million business do? And oftentimes you and I will actually attribute a face to that person. So someone that we know that's already at that point, it might be like, let's say, I'll give an example. Like, let's say this isn't them, but let's say it was Hormozy. You know, what would Hormozy do in this situation? Do you think he would give a fuck about this? And this is like, no, he wouldn't give a fuck about this. So I think sometimes, like, one thing that, you know, has really helped me, and I think hopefully really help our listeners, is actually behaving today as though you've already hit the goal. That's going to help you get there so much faster, because I can guarantee you that 99% of the maniacal shit that you are getting caught up in every single day, the feelings, the overthinking, the procrastination, the sitting in fear, the sitting in doubt, the, you know, wondering what everyone's thinking about you. If you just actually thought about the person who's ahead of you, do they sit there and think about those things? You would realize that they don't, and then you would realize that you shouldn't either. And so I think that that's been something that's really helped me, especially, and even I know it's helped you as well, to think about is like, would they care? No. So why do I give a fuck? Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah, for sure.
Last but not least, on goals, let's say that you set a goal and then you change the goal halfway through the year because new information comes to light and you realize that actually isn't the goal. Like, let's say you were really big on Lambos and then all of a sudden you stopped talking about Lambos and all of our clients were like, when are we going to get the Lambo? And you were like, I actually don't want the Lambo anymore.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of maybe back on the Lambos again. So like, talk to me about not getting married to the goal. And you always say to our clients, like, don't get married to your business model. Just talk me through the whole concept of this.
Yeah, I think humans are just so erratic that things change, life changes, circumstances change week to week, day to day, month to month, that, you know, just because you said you have to do something doesn't mean you actually have to do it. And this is not like, don't honor your commitments. This is just realize that things do change. Yeah, you do have permission to change. So, you know, one of the dumbest things you can do in business is just stay married to a certain goal or identity because you said you would, even if it isn't fruitful or helpful to you, whether that's changing niche, whether that's changing business model, whether that's changing marketing tactics, whether that's being the, I'm only on organic content for the rest of my life because organic content got me there. Like, if you need to change and pivot, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up on it. I just think is the biggest take home here.
And I think, you know, we change as new information comes to light. And I think sometimes, you know, you might think you want something. And then I had a conversation with someone who is just about to join Success School the other day. And she was saying that, you know, she used to want $1 million, but now she just wants to make, you know, 30 grand a month because she realized that that's actually all she did the money math. And she realized that was actually all she needed to do to reach her financial goals. And she goes, it felt so relieving to like let go of that other goal. And I think sometimes we can get so married to the thing that we think that we want that we just don't give ourselves permission to change. Or, you know, you maybe start to burn out. You maybe start to realize you don't want to work that hard. Or you maybe start to realize you do actually want to spend more time with your kids. And had a conversation with Em, who's in our program a couple of weeks ago, and she was saying that she had a marketing agency and it was just taking so much time away from her being with her kids. And she realized she only has a couple more years with her kids before they don't want to hang out with her anymore. And she was like, I can grow a marketing agency in 3 years' time, but I can't get these 3 years back with my teenager. So new information comes to light and you are allowed to change and you are allowed to make new decisions. And so if you set a goal today, let's say it's the 6th of January and you set the goal today and you change it in 6 months' time, like, don't beat yourself up. Like, just move forward. It's fine.
All right, guys, if you need some help, coaching, support along the way, it's the first week in January, so it's the perfect time to join Success School, to be honest. So if you want to grow your business this year, if you've got aspirations to add 10K a month, or you want to grow to a seven-figure business, if you want to be one of the 1,000 businesses we help to build a seven-figure business, it is the perfect time to lock in a scale session with our team. Mm. We would love to have a chat with you. We would love to find out your weaknesses. We'd love to go through your strengths. We'd love to build a plan with you on how to grow your business this year. So if that sounds like something that you want to do, jump on our website, www.makemoreprofit.com. Click on the Success School tab, book a scale session, enter your details. Our team would love to chat with you and see how we can work with you this year and have the best 2025 possible from a business perspective.
Mm, yeah, guys, we would love to talk to you. Thank you so much again for listening. We know that 2025 is going to be our biggest yet. We're super excited. Our clients are super pumped. We're all really lit up and super excited going into this year. So I hope you guys are too. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe.
As always, guys, hit that subscribe button. Steph didn't do it justice there. But
sorry.
Hit it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you're at, hit that subscribe button. It is my main KPI. Let's fucking go.
Thanks, guys, for being here. We'll see you next week.